Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
I had a listener send me what is probably the longest email I have ever read in my life. I mean, I'm talking long. It was almost like the whole plane ride of reading this thing. But basically taking me to task over my position on China. And evidently, he has diagnosed me with, let me see this, overly hyperbolic and destructive China phobia. Evidently, I'm afraid of China. And I'm going, no, I'm not afraid of them. I'm tired of having them kick my behind. But his long email is rambling and all that. Basically was this. Why can't we all just get along? Why can't we be like Reagan and Gorbachev? Why can't we do things around, how did he put it, ending our deadly military confrontations, having a wasteful economic competition and trade wars. He talked about that we're both destroying the planet. We should be working together. He pointed out that we each have human rights violations and we should stop, going against each other and then, blaming each other for the pandemic. And, basically, why can't we just get along? Why can't we all just get along? So I thought the perfect person to answer that question, why can't we get along with China? Why can't we just sing kumbaya? I've asked my good friend Scott Paul to come back and talk to us. Scott is the president of the Alliance for American Manufacturing. Scott, why can't we all just get along?
Rick, it's a great question. And I have to believe that the person who wrote you that was well-intended. Right, because no one wants to fearmonger, no one wants to warmonger. We don't need another 40 or 50 year Cold War that drains resources. All of that is correct, no question, but, and this is a big but, we have to be really serious about some of the challenges as well as the opportunities we have with the government of China, and let's be clear about that. It's not Chinese people. It's not Chinese culture. It's not anything like that. It's not even China's ability to have some influence in Asia. But it is about the policies of the Chinese government that spill over and have a negative impact on the rest of the world.
Right, and the fact that they lie, cheat, and steal, and have been stealing our intellectual property, been the home of cheap, exploitable labor and exploitable environmental regulations, and then tell us, oh, we're going to fix all those things, and we never see any real movement on it.
Yeah, that's right. I don't want to set these aside because these are an important set of issues, but, first you have the aggression against the Tibetan people, which dates back 50 years, and then you have aggression against the Uyghur minority within China, and with respect to Hong Kong, just completely uprooting the democratic traditions that have been blossoming there over decades of time, and also these claims about the South China Sea that the Chinese government makes, which are also very much in dispute. And then you get to a lot of the economic aggression. And I am all for hundreds of millions of Chinese people being lifted out of poverty. I think that is unquestionably a great thing, because it means they would become consumers of American goods and American culture and others around the world. But the way China has approached its development, the Chinese government, is that it's at the expense of others. And so we're going to exploit our own labor to undermine yours. We're going to exploit our own environment to take away market share from yours. We're going to prop up these massive companies that we're going to own as the government. They won't have to make a profit, but we're going to take market share away from you because we want to dominate. We want to dominate, not only compete, but to dominate. And so you go from a China that 20, 25 years ago had a respectable market share, but not an outsized market share, to a China today that for some commodities, for some key goods, has like 75% of the world's production and calls the shots.
Yeah,
and
no, they've
these shots, unfortunately, are not democratic at all. They're very exclusionary.
Yeah. No, I mean, they basically have taken over the markets. But here's the thing. I get people who then want to argue, well, that's competition, and they've figured out how to compete at any lower level. They do things more efficiently. Their wage structure is lower. Therefore, we have to do the same things. Again, that's that race to the bottom argument where, you know, we'll basically slit each other's throats for pennies and lose, because we're never going to be able to compete with slave labor. We're not going to compete with a Chinese communist government who's going to heavily subsidize. We're set up in a loser's game, and it's been that way for a while, Scott.
Yeah, yeah, and I think the difference is, and why there's this, you know, this kind of this threat of opinion out there that China's not a real threat, is that it has exerted its soft power and its hard power to influence American companies, and that includes the media. That includes multinational companies like Apple, you know, and these companies become complicit in the goals and designs of the Chinese government, which, again, very much, you know, China does not tolerate internal dissent whatsoever. It censors outside dissent. It is not about free speech or free debate or free expression or freedom of religion at all. It is exactly the opposite. And so I don't want an Americanized China. I don't want to see that necessarily, but I do want the Chinese people to have the ability to change their own government if they want to. And I also want the Chinese government to act in a way that if they make economic decisions, it doesn't come at the expense of workers in the United States and others around the world who also bode no ill will towards the Chinese government. But we've seen millions of manufacturing jobs lost because of this. We've seen a massive amount of carbon put into our atmosphere, CO2, because of the pollution from these zombie factories and zombie steel mills that exist in China. And it is wildly distorted markets. And it just, the problem is, whenever, and this is the point, whenever you stand up and you say something, there is this pushback, but like, why are you getting down on China? They don't want to come bomb us or anything like that. And they certainly want to be a strategic competitor. There's no doubt about it. But the policy choices that their government makes, that their communist government makes, have detrimental impact on citizens in the United States and others around the world. And that's why we speak up, why we stand up, and why we want to put a stop to this.
No, and in fact, you know, the Chinese communist government, they guard their image in really, I guess you have to give them credit that they're the ultimate brand defenders. When you can get one of the best wrestlers, the most popular wrestlers in this country, one of the wealthiest wrestlers, to learn Mandarin Chinese to apologize for something that was, I don't think was a big deal. That's real power.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, yeah, I called Taiwan, and so you know the government's upset. They're gonna completely keep my movies out of China forever, and my studio's gonna dump me unless I make this pathetic apology. I mean, that gives you a sense that is a bullying tactic right there. And it's not just John Cena. I just don't want to pick on him.
No, it's the entire thing.
Yeah, it's virtually every Hollywood studio, virtually every tech company. There are very few. There's a couple that don't play ball in China, but virtually all of them do. And so when you see the exceptions, you know, they're notable. Like, you know, the James Bond franchise, which just kind of ignores China because they don't want to deal with the whole, you know, they literally don't want to kowtow, right? And so they're like, or Netflix, which is like, no, we're not going to enter China. But there's other companies that have sold their souls and have made a deal with the devil. And not only do they follow the censors that the Chinese government wants to put into place, you know, they're like they turned a blind eye to things like, you know, forced labor, you know, the equivalent of like concentration camps and what has been called genocide. What is genocide in the Uyghur region? Because it's a supply of polysilicon or to supply of cotton or other sorts of materials. and rather not talk about it. Yeah. And that's just, that to me is quite shameful for companies. And I get this, you know, like they want to be woke at home, and I want them to be woke here. You know, I want them to stand up for social justice and economic justice, but that also has to extend beyond the border.
I'm with you on that.
And that can't be used as an excuse.
Now, going back to this email, you know, and look, I don't want to be too dismissive. It was a long email, though. It really was. But this is the same kind of rhetoric that we heard during the Clinton years and the run-up to the Clinton, all during the H.W. Bush years, of how, you know, same thing, you know, of you know, how we were going to make Mexico like us, and we're going to raise living conditions, and everything was going to be wonderful. It's that same, I get that kind of feel, that kind of rhetoric, that, you know, the same thing with China. We were going to make living conditions better for them. We were going to create a middle class. We were going to bring people out, millions of people out of poverty. And they've done a little bit of it, but nowhere to the extent that that we've made their lives better and ours worse. I'm just getting this weird kind of deja vu. Or am I off base here?
No, you're not off base. I once heard an economist, and he was saying this is a good thing. And this was like my jaw dropped, and I wanted to stand up and say something. I should have at the time, but his name is John Paulson. He was a Wells Fargo financial guy. He's like, the best thing we've ever done is open the market with China. It's like our Marshall Plan. Yes, we have a trade deficit, and yes, we've lost some, but we've enriched the Chinese people, and they're going to buy. They're going to buy American products, and it's going to make everybody better off. And I wish I could like show him those words now, because that was said about 8 or 9 years ago about just how wrong he has been about that, because it's still a one-way street. China gets what they want from us, right. but no more. And they're building up their own companies, and they're excluding ours. And we have a massive trade deficit still. And we still have a lot of these challenges that exist. And, you know, the Biden administration has a very tough job, because no administration has gotten this right. Trump didn't get it exactly right. Obama didn't get it exactly right. I mean, Trump did something about it, but he was like flailing wildly. It wasn't structured at all. And so, you know, Biden and his team have a very tough course ahead, but I think that they are very clear-eyed about what the potential threat is. And Rick, the evidence we have of that is this hypersonic missile launch that was done, which is a sophisticated technology that, you know, could potentially escalate, you know, the arms race to a new level, which is that no one wants to see that. But China is flexing here. Yep.
No, and this is definitely a moment of testing. There's definitely a moment of testing Biden. But I also think it doesn't matter who's in the White House. I think China has a plan. And I think, you know, I think Xi Jinping is probably the most dangerous person on this planet, as far as I'm concerned. I don't care about Kim Jong-un ill or on. I don't care as much about him. I don't even really care about Putin as much. I think Xi is the most dangerous person to peace in this world.
Yeah. Well, the bottom line is this, is that, you know, even though you have to take North Korea, Iran, some of these threats seriously, none of them can't really be in any major way, can impact the United States of America directly over a sustained period of time. They'd be wiped out. They'd be wiped out. That's not the case with China, right? I mean, China has a more sophisticated military, has a larger military, has a larger economy. And so we obviously have to treat the relationship with care. That doesn't mean that we just give in and ignore. And it does mean we have to counter. And when we can collaborate with them, we should collaborate. But when we have to confront diplomatically, we have to confront diplomatically. Yeah. And when we have to engage our allies and isolate China because of their actions, that's what we have to do. It's just like with the origins of the pandemic. Just let the scientists in, let them do their job, make all the data available, and solve this once and for all. It's pretty simple. It's just one of those symptoms of the larger problem that China, you know, may have something to hide.
Yeah, because, you know, look, I love that there are some people who are optimistic that we all can hold hands and we can all work towards a common goal. Because, look, to address climate change, we're going to have to figure out how we do that. That's not just one country. It's not just us. It's not just them. It's everybody. I wish there were a way forward. I wish we didn't have military escalations. I wish we had a way to ensure that workers here in this country and in China had an opportunity to live their best lives. Sadly, again, I go back to the Xi Jinping's of the world and the Chinese communist government plan. That ain't happening right now.
Xi Jinping is a strong man. He's reverting to nationalism. He's reverting to central control. He is, instead of economic reforms and openness, is exactly the opposite of that, Rick. And again, that's not great for Chinese people and making forward progress. And it certainly has spillover effects for the rest of the world. And so we do need to talk about this. And that this is one of the reasons why we do take trade action. It's like we, you know, if our private sector firms, they could be incredibly efficient, but they can't compete against trillions of dollars the Chinese government throws at their firms to gain market share. It's like they can take losses, you know, for a long time, and our guys will be wiped out. And so, you know, that is why we have to push back. So it's not a, you know, China started this trade war, you know, 25 years ago. Yeah. And so I guess we're engaged in one now, but you know, it can't be one-sided.
So that's the argument. The argument that I made from the beginning, Scott. We've been at war with China for 25 years now. It's been a trade war. Trump didn't just start it. We just went for so long without realizing that we were in a fight, and that we were just happy to get cheap stuff, and we were just happy to get massive profits for corporations and huge bonuses for CEOs. I argue our trade policies are working perfectly as they were intended, to make the wealth class wealthier and the rest of us, the people who actually do the work, a whole lot poorer.
Yeah. Well, the irony, because there's all these boats that are waiting to, you know, offload imports off the West Coast. The people complaining about that are the same ones who are the America first. Let's, you know, put the tariffs on China. It's like, wait. You cannot have it both ways, because this is like America's import cartel, the Amazons, the Walmarts, the Targets, all of that have all of their crap on those boats that they want to get and to sell for Christmas. And all the critics of what's happening are the same people who are like, well, we should be buying American. It's like, well, you know what? You can do that. You have the ability to do that as a consumer. Yep. But if you're demanding that all those goods from Amazon and Walmart and Target are going to get off those boats and onto the shelves and into your house, then you're part of the problem, not part of the solution.
No, I'm right there with you. But Scott, I appreciate the time, the expert input. I hope it answered my email friend's questions, and I hope it got us somewhere near, you know, why can't we just be friends?
Rick, appreciate it as always. Thank you.
Good stuff. Our good friend Scott Paul. You can check out the work that they do over at the Alliance for American Manufacturing at AmericanManufacturing.org. We'll get links out on social media. You can check that out. Quick break. Right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Time to talk.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.